Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Where are you? I can't see you. You're not doing it today. You're not doing the podcast today.
What?
I'm in the normal place. Where are you? You're not coming to the...
Oh, no, no. I'm on my treadmill in my back garden.
But that's crazy. We can't do a podcast like that. We need to be with each other. What kind of nonsense is that? Listen, I'll wait. You run here and I'll see you in 45 minutes, okay? Because this is crazy. Is this you on your... can I hear the treadmill?
Yeah, that's the treadmill.
Right, okay, cool. And how's... have you been doing a fair bit of treadmill? Just so people know, we're doing this remotely.
Yes, that's right.
It's important to say that, isn't it?
Can I start the treadmill now? Because I'm confused.
Go on, then.
Are you running?
I'm starting to run now, yeah. I'm running down the Parkland Way, yes.
Oh, me too. 3, 2, 1. Up we go, you see. Okay, so... yes, you're on the Parkland Walk. So, dear listener, hello, it's Running Commentary. It's a lockdown. And Paul's on the Parkland Walk. And I'm going to live it vicariously through you, you see.
Yeah, it's a remote Running Commentary. That's what we're doing. We're trying to get us through this incredibly awful period in history. And everyone's running through it. Anyone's running through it at a greater or lesser extent. And obviously, we can't meet at the moment to do the podcast. So by the wonders of modern technology.
We're making it happen, guys. It's really good.
Yeah. So have you been running outside at all then during this period, Rob?
Yeah, I have. But I find it very stressful managing to social distance. Yeah. So I find that whenever I go, like last time we were on the Parkland Walk, it's like a confined space. And there's so many people there. I just get freaked out.
Yeah,
and I had the same thing when I went down to the towpath, you know. So basically, if I can't get out at dawn or run down the middle of the road, I go on the treadmill.
Right, yeah, fair enough. It's quite...
What about you?
Yeah, I've kind of... I mean, the last time we did one, my calf was playing up.
You've got injury issues as well.
Yeah, but I didn't... For the first week of lockdown, I didn't run much at all, but I've run every day since then. I've run like 5 miles a day, just a normal...
Oh, very good, and how's your calf?
Yeah, it's a lot better. I'm running really...
Great.
I'm running really slowly. I'm observing social distancing, which actually works when you're coming back from an injury, because you can just stop and stretch all the time.
So it's a reminder to keep stopping, kind of thing.
Yeah, whenever there's a gap or something, I just stop and stretch my calf. And it actually really works, because I know normally I'd just be... My calf would be hurting a bit, and I'd just be ignoring it. But now I'm kind of forced to listen. It's kind of factored in. So it's actually okay.
Yeah.
It's actually worked out okay. And today on the Parkland Walk, because it's not sunny, there's literally no one here.
I'm on. That's really good news.
I'm actually on my own here this morning.
Even without me. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all good.
It's working. It's working.
Yeah, it's working.
It's kind of working.
This is fine.
One little thing about my little treadmill is I really do have trouble not falling off it.
Right.
So if you hear a loud clunk and I get cut off, unfortunately I won't be protecting the NHS. I'll be on my way to A&E.
Where were you? where is the treadmill? Is it in the? Is it? Is it in the back there?
It's in the back garden, yeah.
Right.
And
okay.
The other good news is that it's just stopped raining. I was a bit worried I was going to get electrocuted 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, no, it's actually quite mild this morning. And how's it been around the old Deering household? You been okay?
Yeah, it's been good. This treadmill is on exactly the spot where me and my wife were sitting in the sunshine yesterday afternoon, drinking and listening to jazz.
Right.
You know, so there's people who've got it worse than us, and we're keeping busy.
Yeah.
The kids have been very good at doing their schoolwork, and now it's the holidays.
Yes.
So we're trying to respect their holidays whilst not letting them just completely hibernate, because no one wants to do absolutely nothing. It's just depressing, isn't it? Let's face it.
Yeah, it's kind of that collapse of structure, isn't it? It started to get better for me when I started doing this food run on a morning for schools.
Yeah.
I think I told you I've got a mate who's a head teacher at a local primary school. Me and Rachel ended up driving around and just for a couple of hours, 2.5 hours on a morning. But it's just nice. It was something to do. It felt helpful. And it stopped me getting drunk. Because I had to.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I had to do something. So that's. It ticked an awful lot of boxes.
I really think that it seems like a first world problem. I don't know about you, but I certainly know some of our brothers and sisters in comedy.
Yeah.
I really noticed that. I think I'm physically geared up to a huge lot of kind of alpha energy on the weekend.
Yes.
So I'm much more of a nightmare to be around from Friday to Sunday. When I haven't got that outlet, you know, kind of controlled blast of showing off.
Yeah, it's. I have found Fridays and Saturdays quite difficult, I must say.
Yeah.
Just that non-performance.
This weekend, though, I did do a gig this weekend, which was nice.
Right.
I got paid and everything.
Right, okay, a nice one.
Our friend Jared Christmas, close relative of Father Christmas.
Yes.
He hosted a show from, it was the comedy club they've got down there, but he hosted it from his kitchen.
Right.
And then he did it live streamed it on YouTube.
Okay.
And then cut in sets from various comedians.
Right.
Andrew Bird and Laura Lex and Andy Askins. But I recorded a special set for them in my back bedroom.
Wow.
So it's very much laughter during the lockdown, they called it, and it really was.
It's a good idea. I mean, a lot of people have been doing bits and bobs. Some comedy clubs have been streaming gigs, haven't they? So Hot Water streamed one. Very successfully.
Yeah, yeah.
That was actually really good, actually. But I think I'd struggle performing to no one. It would be even quieter than my normal gigs are. But some people can do it, and it's great to do it. Anything creative is good, isn't it? And how did it feel? What did you do? You just wrote some songs and went for it.
Well, the nice thing about it was, like you said, I think it's really important that we do something.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can pretend that audiences don't matter.
Yes.
So I didn't do a pretend gig in my house. I sat at the piano and chatted.
Nice.
But having said that, I was still using material, you know, I was doing jokes that exist.
Yeah.
But I did them kind of like I would if we were at a dinner party or something. I don't know.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But
I
don't know if it worked.
You didn't pause for imaginary laughter, sort of thing.
At
the end of every punchline, yeah.
Because let's face it, audiences are important to performance.
Yes, yeah.
There's something a little bit, shall we say, onanistic about performance without an audience.
Yes, yeah. It's all pretty crazy, and everyone's just still adapting, aren't they? And
got cut off. Damn it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Was that, I don't know whether that was my phone or yours, or it might be the 4G or whatever, I don't really...
Yeah, but I carried on running and I carried on recording. Are you still recording?
Yeah, I'm still recording. Yeah, yeah, of course, of course. I'm
not, great!
I'm not gonna bother with all that stoppy-starty recording business.
No, exactly. I think that's a good call.
Just the fact that anything's happening at all is some sort of miracle at the moment.
You know, exactly. And, yeah. And Steve, bless you, Steve. If we can get this to you, Steve will be able to fix that for us.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Steve, on lockdown, have you... people have been enjoying Steve's lockdown podcast.
Right.
Oh, after 3 weeks of lockdown in Spain. You can get that through our Twitter feed.
Has he been doing a lockdown podcast, has he? I didn't realise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I have to show you. It's really good. But, I mean, it's a different experience again in Spain.
Of course.
I've got to say, slightly distracted, because you know how you're running in the woods and I'm running in my back garden?
Yes.
I had this idea that you'd be seeing the leaves and the sights and I'd just be looking at the wall. But that's been slightly countermanded by the fact that right in front of me, right now, is one of the scariest spiders I've ever seen.
Go on then, what is
it? Oh, it looks like a black widow.
Right.
It's not huge, but it's big and it just looks evil. And it's just crawling up the wall in front of my face. And honestly, all my hair's just stood on end.
Yeah,
this is like a horror film.
Yeah.
I know we've got a lot of tech going on, but I'll try and take a picture here without falling off the treadmill, and you can see this later.
You're running towards a spider at this very moment. That's basically.
That's right. It's like it's a reverse carrot on a stick. It's like, for God's sake, stop running.
Yeah.
Hello, spider. I got it. I got a picture of it, so there's evidence of that.
Oh, that's good. That's
wow. So, but I'm still on the phone to you. Oh, it's very clever. Treadmill, phone call, recorder. So where are you now?
So you're running for... You're doing about 5 miles a day, are you, on the treadmill?
Well, I'm not always running on the treadmill.
Right.
I'm trying to do... I think I told you last time, my thing was to run 30 miles a week.
Right.
And do 30 minutes of planking.
Right, okay.
And by the end of last week... I'd done that all 3 weeks. Basically, some kind of reasonable length run, Monday to Thursday.
Right.
And then a park run equivalent run on a Saturday morning.
Right.
And, I've kept that up for 3 weeks now. And, you know, it's pretty intense. It's by last week, I started to think that maybe I was kind of overtraining a bit, a few sort of aches and pains. So this week, I've opted for a taper week. I'm going to cut down to about half, because I want that pattern to work in the long run. Do you know what I mean? So I think I need to include a tape. If it's going to be, you know, ultimately at one end of things, the idea is that I'm still fit to run marathons in the autumn. So it needs some kind of sustainability.
I'm running quite slowly. I mean, part of that's because I'm coming back from injury, but part of that's just because I'm just running slowly anyway, because it's just my energy, you know. It's my energy is low.
Part, part, part of the reason I'm running slowly is that my running machine only goes up to 10 kilometres an hour.
Yes. Yeah.
So, well, that's also one of the reasons I keep nearly falling off it.
Right.
So I keep getting to the front of it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's luckily, this red back is going to stop me doing that today.
That's kind of... that's almost the right pace at the moment. And I know it's very slow and stuff, but it's sort of... That's sort of okay. That's about what we do our podcasts at normally, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's great for mileage. It's the way it should be, for sure. Yeah. And also, it balances up with, as I say, I'm still doing 5K as fast as I can on a Saturday morning.
Right.
Which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
But part of enjoying it is that I don't enjoy it. You know, I think, oh, I can't be face it. I don't really want to do it.
Right.
It's not a proper park run.
Yeah.
And then I go out there. And I remember how hard real parkruns are.
Yes, yeah.
And it makes me feel good about myself, you know.
Yes.
So in terms of pacing on the week, it also makes me feel better about running at cruising speed.
Yes.
All the rest of the time, you know,
just get a
tempo blast.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, runners are getting a lot of grief at the moment, aren't they? Out and about.
Yeah, it's a real conversation. And I think that it's complicated because I'm sure... that there are loads of really well-behaved runners socially distancing.
Yes.
Runners know better than people who don't run how much they would miss running.
Yes.
How good running is for their physical and mental health. But equally, there are runners who aren't any good at social distancing.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're the ones who everyone notices. Like, same as cyclists on the roads of London, you know.
Yeah.
It's only 1 in 10 cyclists that jumps the lights.
Yes.
But... you know, that's everyone notices that, and fair dues.
And also, it has. I mean, I just think there's idiot runners and there's idiot walkers and there's idiot cyclists. I mean, you get...
Absolutely, it's just a percentage.
You get walkers running 3 or 4 abreast down the Parkland Way, just not caring about anyone else.
That's right, absolutely.
Like, what are people meant
to do? And there's an idea that runners and cyclists are just baddies, you know, they're kind of guilty until proven innocent kind of thing.
Yeah, when we are sort of part of culture. Part of it, I mean, I actually wrote an article about this, a very quick article that's in the Telegraph today about this very thing, because they commissioned me last week. I only had 2 hours to write it. It was a bit rushed, but it's okay. But part of it is there's lots of new runners as well. And that's fantastic. I love seeing all the new runners, but they're a bit more they're a bit more clumsy because they're a bit more keen. They don't want to stop so much, and they're sweating loads.
You don't want to stop. Yeah, it's tempting to run in a completely straight line. That's right.
Yeah. They just look like virus carriers, don't they?
Yes, absolutely.
I've seen people running. Who look like they're trying to run the virus off. I mean, I've seen them literally coughing every third or fourth step as if they've got the early stages and they thought, I'm just going to run this through. Really sweaty.
Yeah,
and
then spitting on the ground,
just running
in a straight line so that people have to dive out of the way. You know, this is coming from us. We're pro runners. We think you should keep running.
Of course.
But equally, there are terrifying runners out there on the trail, aren't there?
You've just got to be super mindful so that we can keep this going. Because if they stop us running outside, it's going to hurt a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
That's right.
Runners are going to really miss it. Yeah. Because I must say...
I also think within running, the same thing we've been saying a couple of weeks, and I don't want to tread on anyone's toes here, but I do think it's a bit crazy how much people are attaching themselves to events.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I think the third time I saw someone... running a marathon in their garden.
Yes.
I thought, let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah. You know, there aren't any park runs. There aren't any marathons. There aren't any half marathons. You can still run.
Yes.
You don't need that. Don't need that kind of label for it to exist.
Yeah.
And I think that those few people are in denial to a certain extent.
I think that's specific runners' mentality, isn't it? Of just like,
yeah.
You know, they're doing Strava half marathons and so. I mean, some of my club mates. They're still competing on Strava, but they're entering virtual road relays.
I lost you again.
But to be fair, they're the people who are out at 6:30, running on the roads, keeping their distance from everyone else. They've been really good, most of my club mates. They've been really conscious about it. They're not going in parks. And I can't really fault them, to be honest. They've been great.
Hello.
Hello, mate. Sorry, did you miss me then?
I lost you, but I've still got you.
Okay, cool. No, I was just saying how good a lot of my club mates have been. You know, they've been doing all these virtual road relays and racing each other and stuff, but they've been getting up at 6 a.m. to do it, so they're not in the way of everyone else. And they've been running on the roads loads. And it's a funny moment in running history, actually, and it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have come to
it. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel guilty, you know, even offering an opinion on this, because obviously you've got whatever you need, you know. You stop running, you keep training, whatever. But my nudge would be to let go thinking about events.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, like you say, if you're running your 10K as if it's your 10K, but doing it around your house, then that's totally respectable.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, the actual, you know, I got to lunchtime yesterday.
Yeah.
And I suddenly realised that it was the day of the Manchester Marathon.
I know, awful.
And I was just, I was so relieved that I'd forgotten about it, you know?
Yeah.
Because these are the changes that we need to make.
Well, I was up at 5:30 running up and down my steps for 5 hours. But, I mean, each to his own, you know. We do what we can
yeah.
to get through this difficult time.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually did a 3:45 marathon up and down the steps. So I was fairly pleased with
that. Yeah, actually, up and down the steps outside someone else's house. So that was tough for them because they couldn't go out.
I think I went out for a run yesterday at 5 p.m. And it wasn't that, it wasn't that busy. I think there's a lot of...
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of people saying, no, you shouldn't go out, etc. And some people are taking the mickey and some aren't. But a lot of people are actually...
Yeah.
A lot of people are following.
I think they really are.
Yeah.
But, of course, those people don't notice that.
Yes.
But also, I think that people... they go along pathways, you know?
Yeah.
If you run at a different time and in a different place, you immediately don't see anyone.
Yes, absolutely.
But if you go to the park...
Yeah.
When the sun comes out, then you're going to see a lot of people. And even then, like you say, the massive majority of those people will be socially distancing.
Yes.
But some of them aren't.
Yes.
And that's when it gets difficult.
It's still very hard for the youth to get their heads around it of a certain age.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just hard for them not to. Some of them think they've had it, but
party.
They just want to meet up. It's just hard to get them to stay in the house and just do all that stuff. It's just like.
Yeah.
It's tricky. Really.
It's a different perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
An absolute paradigm shift.
Yeah. And of course we don't know how long it's going to go. So, again, that makes it harder.
As I say, I've come up with this parkrun route outside my house.
Yeah.
And just for me.
Yeah.
And I was going to... It's rectangular, right?
Right.
So you could kind of start from anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's got quite a big catchment area. And I thought, I'll just message everyone I know around where I live and tell them about it. And I thought, no, because then we'll all end up out there.
Yeah.
9 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And that's exactly wrong.
Yes. It's pretty awful, isn't it? Most of the time I'm fine. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'm actually quite relieved that I don't have any obligations.
Healthy.
For a moment.
I think that generally I'm having a good time, but I just quite often remember it's kind of like grieving, you know, you're ticking along.
Yeah.
And then you just remember, and you think,
it's when you remember, isn't it? I'm reading the news. I mean, I always like to be across the news, but I'm reading it a bit less than I was. Every day seems...
Yeah, it's not really good.
Yeah, it's not great to read the news. But every day seems to have a shocking event, doesn't it? And yesterday was old Boris going in, wasn't it? That was like...
Into hospital, right.
That was a real shock, just after the Queen's speech, which I thought had been an absolute high point. I thought she played a blinder, the old Queen.
I think people need that, you know. There'll be a lot of comedians joking about it and people saying, just give us some money, Liz, and things like this. But I think in terms of drawing the nation together, you need things like that. You need these bold, broad statements, these simple ideas that people can get their heads around all at the same time.
I mean, 24 million people watched it. And I thought she absolutely stormed it. I thought she had a blinder. But then old Boris...
I was slightly disappointed that she didn't say, if you are a new runner, perhaps try Rob King and Paul Tonkinson's running commentary.
Yeah. They're recording it remotely this week and observing social distancing. Let's see how that works out.
This... Hashtag thank you, Marshall. Hashtag social distancing.
Hashtag remote. Hashtag Paul's in the woods. There's no one here, mate, honestly. It's absolutely amazing.
Okay.
It's glorious.
Well, next time then.
I mean, I'm in Queen's Woods and there's just no one here. Part of that's because of the time. Yeah. Part of it's because it's a slightly overcast
miserable
morning.
Day.
Perfect. Perfect running.
Well, and I'm on this running machine, not falling off here, sweating like a dog.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to sweat though. How's your weight? Weight update.
Yeah, it's pretty steady.
Right.
It's pretty steady. As I say, I got to last week, and I weighed the least I had in ages.
Right.
And I was slightly concerned about, as I say, overtraining. I haven't stopped doing anything.
Right.
I just don't want to be being crazy about it, you know?
Yeah.
But because it's the balancing act. I'm trying to stay fit. I'm not really trying to get fitter, but of course I really don't want to get less fit.
Yes.
So it's just a balancing act.
It's a bit of a maintenance.
And in terms of being on this slightly shonky little treadmill, it's a literal balancing act.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And also one of the reasons why I didn't want to drink so much during this period is because you don't want to have a stupid accident and end up in hospital. So that's just a little, another level of micro tension to just daily activity. You don't, well, you have to be,
absolutely.
You have to sort yourself out. You don't want to go in.
And when you add to that the amount to which you and I fanny about, I don't think people realise exactly how dangerous drinking indoors can be.
Yes, yeah.
When you're the kind of person who will do something really stupid for no reason at all.
Yeah, for a laugh.
I am. My daughter, Mime, hit me the other day with a yoga mat.
Right.
That's right. And I went with it, went with the Mime, turned around to kind of noisily but painlessly headbutt the bathroom door, misjudged it. And headbutted the door frame pretty much as hard as I could for no good reason at all, entirely on my own recognizance. So, I can't remember if I've been drinking, but let's face it, I probably have.
Yeah, it's not a great time for slapstick around the house, is it? There's obviously loads of opportunities.
I'm surprised they haven't been saying that.
Yeah. It might be best.
I'm surprised they're not saying that in the adverts.
Yeah.
And if
stop
you are thinking,
messing around, Rob, Queenie here, stop headbutting the doorframe.
No slapstick around the house.
Oh God.
Spider update.
Yeah.
That terrifying spider. It's gone.
Good. Good.
But if anything,
that makes it
more
disturbing.
That's more scary.
Yeah, of course. Where is it now? Yeah. I mean,
I feel a tap on the shoulder, I'll let you know.
We should be grateful. I was chatting to my brother in Australia. In terms of like enforcing social distancing, they've got borders between states. So if you go from New South Wales to Brisbane or whatever it is, you've got to be 2 weeks in quarantine. If they see you not observing, if they see you not observing social distancing, in some states, they're going to put you inside for a year. I mean, they're obviously making examples of people, but it's on the spot criminal record. 6 months imprisonment in some states, a year in others. They've just gone total
hell,
naught to 100, you know.
Also, what I thought you were going to say, because I was talking about this spider, is of course nature is loving the lockdown, you know.
Yeah.
That rat we saw the other day, foxes, sparrows, flowers, the sky. So in Australia, sharks and spiders are roaming the streets.
You got a shark.
Yeah, we're bigger than ever,
mate.
Come out, you might go to prison, you might get bitten.
You got a shark buying all the bog roll, mate, in local Coles. Absolute nightmare.
This is the time for land sharks.
So now I'm just sort of lazily, I'm running very slowly, just to give you an image. I'm holding my mobile phone in my right hand because I think that helps. And I'm holding the recorder that records the podcast in my left hand because the earplugs are in. So it's sort of affecting.
Nice, so you're basically like a nunchuck.
I look like.
So that's why the woods are quiet, because they think there's some kind of aging ninja.
I look even more like an absolute tool, if that's possible.
And what about your clothes? You've got some New Balance gear on, yeah?
Actually, no, I haven't. I've gone all black today. All black.
Yeah.
Red shoes.
Scarf across the face.
Yes, I haven't got that. been doing the mask thing? I did it a little bit. Are you masking up when you go out?
When I go shopping.
Yeah.
Not when I walk or run, because I don't plan to go near anyone.
Right.
But I'm also doing the shopping, so I wear a mask when I go into shops.
Right.
I read an article about it. It said, don't use gloves, keep your hands clean. So I keep my hands clean.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah.
I wear a mask just to absolutely minimise interaction.
Yeah, that's fair.
And obviously shop as little as possible.
Yes, yeah.
But you know what it's like, we've got 400 grown-ups in this house, so you know. Hey, where are your kids? Are they home? Are they away?
What the kids?
Yeah.
No, my kids are home.
Because last we spoke, Bonnie was still in Bristol.
No. But Bonnie's back. She's in with her boyfriend who's been isolating with us. Who was there?
Right.
He was there just pre-lockdown. And I'll be honest, he presented symptoms. He'd lost his sense of taste and smell.
So he wasn't isolating from you.
No. But he was isolating with Bonnie, and we were trying to isolate within the same house. There was a time when there was like three or four different sections trying to isolate from each other in the house. We're lucky enough we've got a big house.
Yeah.
We can attempt something like that, but I'm not saying it.
Yes.
Very stressful at times.
And also just decidedly odd.
Yes. Yeah. But it's just like, but it's sort of like, I don't know, it's just everyone's taking some risks, aren't they?
Absolutely, because you've got to get by. The main one here is food. We could all just be in and stay in and not see anyone. But, you know, you can't get online shops.
Yes.
We haven't got a car.
You've got to go.
We haven't got a big kitchen.
Yeah.
So I go shopping as seldom as possible, and it's only me.
Yes.
But I'm still going once or twice a week
because
I can't carry enough stuff.
Yeah. To be honest, the decision with my daughter is it would probably be more grief for her not to be with a boyfriend than to be with him. Their relationship was just flourishing as it was all starting to break. They're absolutely mad about it.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a crazy corona honeymoon. Of course it was a risk.
Yeah.
I don't know, we didn't eat with him. We just kept there with her in her room. We cooked them food, left it outside. I mean, to be fair, they were obviously absolutely loving it, because you just text down.
I think that didn't have to spend any time with you. I think that we watched. Funny enough, we watched Father of the Bride yesterday with Steve Martin.
Yeah, great.
So that's pretty much all I'm picturing.
Yeah,
and I think if you added a pandemic plot development to that, it would really spice it up.
Yeah. It's and then George and his mates got back from Manchester. I mean, it looks like they had the coronavirus upon arrival. I mean, they've been in partying for the last 2 days. One of them, I had to sort of, took me about half an hour to wake him up to deposit him at his mum's house. I mean, he looks like an absolute state.
That's terrifying, isn't it?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I think the messaging with the students was pretty poor. Either that or my kids just weren't listening, which is very, very possible.
Possibly some combination of the two.
Yeah, I mean, I just assumed when they got here that they both had it and we'd all get it. I just sort of, I'm doing everything I can not to get it, but I assumed we all would. As yet, we haven't.
Yeah. That's right.
I've been doing everything to boost my immune system, all that. What are you doing? What's your immuno-boosto?
Well, we just eat really healthily, but we always do anyway.
Yeah.
And the steady running is good.
Yeah.
That's about it, really. I think that exercise is really important.
Right.
And I think that's not just for... I think our first position on that is for mental health. But, of course, they say sunshine and warmth and sunlight itself, vitamin D, is a good defence against the coronavirus.
Yes.
Plus, no one else except me interacts with anyone.
Yes.
And I don't interact. The only time I interact with anyone is with a mask on in a shop.
Right.
Once or twice a week.
Fair enough.
So, you know, we are staying in.
Yeah.
Although, yesterday, we watched this excellent TED interview with Elizabeth Gilbert.
Okay, yeah.
You know, who I think we've talked about before.
Yes,
a long time ago, actually. You know, Eat, Pray, Love and Big Magic Woman.
Yes.
And she was just talking about it. It's really funny because people go to her for answers and her being quite an enlightened yet clued up woman, her first answer is generally, I haven't got the answers.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
But it was really heartening to hear her saying, you know, don't think of it as quarantine, think of it as just a time to be sort of retreated and mindful. I mean, she's very self-aware. She wasn't saying it was fantastic.
Yeah.
She was saying what we were saying, be compassionate with yourself. You know, it's okay
to
not be happy right now.
Yeah.
It's okay to not blast out a novel.
Yeah.
You know, and and what she said is exactly what we were saying, is that it's a marathon, not a sprint. You need some kind of lifestyle endure for weeks on end.
It's coping with uncertainty, isn't it? You're just dealing with the uncertainty.
Yeah.
It's just so that sort of, I'm not thinking at all about the future. I'm just thinking
I get uncomfortable when other people do.
Yes.
Because, like, well, I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Yeah. Totally. It's just a little bit. I mean, I'm taking loads of vitamin C, zinc, you know, herbal teas. I'm eating really well. But I am going out more than
you. Yep.
Obviously, we're doing that charity thing every day. I'm not wearing a mask.
Yep.
I'm going shopping.
I mean, I think in a way it sounds to me, you know, I'm not being altruistic. It scares me, the idea of getting near people, and it scares me in a panicky, obsessive way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, I come back from going out and I'm doing all I can not to stay 2 meters from. Oh, never mind. My family. I have trouble not staying 2 meters from the furniture.
Yes.
So. This stuff can really trigger me.
Yeah,
whereas it sounds to me like you want to be out and about, but you're finding good ways of doing it that are valid and helpful to you and the community.
The thing about it is that I'm doing most things I can not to get it whilst accepting that I might. I think it's really important, just for me, that I don't get too scared about the possibility of getting this, because the likelihood is...
Yeah, that's right, because you might never...
Is the likelihood is...
That's
is
right, that you don't want to...
Most of us will get this. And that can't terrify us. But what makes it scary, obviously, is the complete unpredictability of the symptoms as they play out. But I've got a lot of mates that have been through it and had it. And, you know, some of them had scary experiences, but they're all here. They've all come through it.
But then completely, like you say, arbitrarily, sooner or later, percentage-wise, people who get it, some of them die.
Yes, of course.
And you can't really call who it's going to be or when.
Yeah, totally. So,
and these are all the things we've got to balance in our heads.
Yes, it's undoubtedly scary business, but I cannot be too scared of it. That's just for me.
No.
Just like,
I suppose if one's way of dealing with it is to run a marathon in the garden, then go to it.
Yeah, that's their...
Whatever gets you through this time.
That's their sort of show of resilience, isn't it, and sort of strength. And everyone's just... some people are being really compassionate. Some people are scrapping it. Some people are fighting it. Some people are suffering from it. Some people are grieving because of the results of it. Everyone's just going through it. And no one asks for it.
And some people still seem to not really have noticed.
Yes.
Which is the weirdest subgroup.
Yes.
And if you're not in London, you're probably, percentage-wise, less likely to come across these people. But I'm sure they're out there.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people like you who just aren't leaving their house at all. Unless they absolutely have to. And I totally get that. But then I was chatting to a woman who lives down the street. She lives on her own. I think she struggles mental health wise on a kind of sort of quite a subtle level. She walks a dog four times a day. Every day she walks a dog and she keeps a distance.
Yeah.
And I find it hard to be too judgmental about her. Because.
Exactly.
You know.
And I'm incredibly grateful that I've got a family I got on with.
Yeah.
And a really nice home that's really well set up for hanging out in, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
If I wasn't in this situation, then I'd be finding reasons to get out there socially distanced and just keep my sanity.
Yeah, just keep your distance. I mean, I know people who, you know, when we do this school run, we're going around all the estates in Islington and stuff, and they are so grateful when we bring some food. I mean,
that's right. And the funny thing about shopping and food, it has to happen.
Yes.
This is, you know. There's other stuff, there's kind of stuff described as frontline stuff that doesn't necessarily have to happen. We had a big row with a guy fixing a car right on our doorstep the other day. It's like, I know that you're allowed to keep the garage open, but go away. But the food thing, you know, it's obviously imperative, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. People need food. Yeah, they need to. And also...
And to a lesser extent, people need booze. Maybe that's not such a valid point.
What? What were you going to say?
That people need booze.
Oh, right. but they really...
No slapstick around the house. Particularly when you've been knocking back the booze. Go easy on the booze.
We've got Bonnie's birthday tonight, so she wants us to drink again. She's been drunk. We drank at the weekend, didn't drink all week. And I just felt...
And she's invited over 150 friends.
Not so great. Well, no, they're doing things like inviting mates to stand in the street so they can see each other.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's a bit sort of weird. It's a bit... But at the same time... I've definitely seen...
What about... Have you done any of this... virtual stuff? Done any Zoom meetings or Zoom socials?
Yeah. The first Friday without a gig, Rachel, my wife and her mates did a big Zoom party. It was like a sort of tragic version of Celebrity Squares, wasn't it? When the square lights are when you talk. I think it was because it was the first weekend that I hadn't gigged. I found it so tragic. Honestly, I almost started crying. I just couldn't do it. I just had to leave.
It
just really did my head in. I think that was because it was the first weekend where the reality of not gigging really...
Absolutely, it's not the same as an audience.
Yeah, and that kind of waiting, that kind of waiting to speak thing. It was like a tragic version of Mock the Week or something. It was just really weird.
Yeah.
But
also, like, sometimes when we go to corporates and things, and it's like a meeting room.
Yes.
And you're like, this is death. This is not where entertainment survives.
But having said that. You know, I've spent a lot of time on house party, but I didn't want that to be the only thing that I did. You know, what did you do in the big corona crisis, Dad? I got smashed on house party every night with mates. But house party's been amazing. I mean, for a lot of people, and it's been funny the range of people you chat to, doesn't it? There's some people I chat to every day. There's some I chat to every few days. Just helping people through it, and myself, of course. You know, it's just nice.
Keeping in touch.
Yes,
that's right. I think keeping in touch is an interesting concept, isn't it? Because I don't think we'd say that we have ever not kept in touch with anyone.
Yeah.
But somehow the fader on that has been turned up.
Yes.
And I find that people, when get in touch with me, I always respond.
Yes.
When I think of someone, I think I'm going to get in touch with them. Do you know what I mean? You kind of don't waste any time. You make contact.
It's funny the people you find yourself talking to. You know, some of them are the same, but some of them are just, there might be people I haven't spoken to much in the last few months or something, but I'm suddenly speaking to them every few days.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people just coping with huge unpredictability professionally, just massive, just industries getting decimated, television industry. Just the stress of it. It's really
well, I've got friends, talking of the Zoom thing, I socialise with two friends I know through comedy.
Yeah.
And we socialise with some people we know through the kids.
Yeah.
You know, parents of their friends.
Yeah.
And all of the people we socialised with last week, all their jobs... are just carrying on.
Right.
And I found that... I've been fine. I've been busy. I've got lots to get on with.
Yes, yeah.
But
yeah.
I found that a bit...
Yes.
I found it pretty difficult.
Yeah,
just because they're on a different page to me, you know,
yeah,
and
course.
To my wife.
Of course.
Because our jobs, as they were, stopped overnight. Yeah, and we've had to reinvent ourselves completely just to move forward, you know.
Yeah, it's very... Yeah, some people are more cushioned by this, and some in certain jobs certainly.
Yes.
A guy reached out on Twitter actually, who's a bit of a who follows the podcast, and he was saying he got sacked from his estate agent job on the Monday, and by the Wednesday he was working the night shift stacking shelves in Tesco's.
Right, that's the original lyrics to the Craig David song, isn't
yeah.
it?
But some people adapt really quick. Some people are in crisis mode straight away. Some people, it's just,
yep.
It's a very, very challenging environment, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, if you're completely fine and everything is normal, then something hasn't happened yet.
Yes, yeah. it's sort of idiotic to claim everything's great, isn't it? I mean, you have to sort of accept.
Yes, but on the other hand, if you're fine... You've got to embrace that. You can't feel guilty by, can you?
No, that's fine, but I don't know. I think it would take a strange person to be fine amidst the... Just the
yes,
just,
I agree.
It's just the depression of the world. We are in the world. The world is depressed.
Yeah.
And
in this context, let's take a moment to think about people who don't run, who just... They would just think, why? why are these guys still running? But it's important, isn't it?
Yeah,
important to do what you do.
Yeah, it's so,
whatever that might be.
It's so, I mean, it's been so important to me to run this last week or so. I mean, to be honest,
I'm so glad that your calf has let you do that.
Yeah, to be honest, this podcast, yeah, I've spent a lot of time walking a bit because I couldn't hear it right. But once this goes, I will just run. I'll just be off running again. It's just so to be in nature, to be on my own. And also, I had a little one the other week where I was the other day where I was running, and I was running behind a sort of father and son team. It looked like they didn't really run much before all this happened, but he looked like a guy who was maybe coming back to running. And his son was running ahead of him about, 5 metres or whatever, and he was following his son.
Giving him the space, yeah.
And they were jumping over logs and just running on walls and stuff. And I started following them from a distance. They couldn't see me, but I was just following their steps sort of thing. And it was sort of quite playful, actually. It was just really nice. And it made me I got really sad for a second. It made me really ache for that experience of running with people and being close to them at the start and competing and this. It was a really nice moment, but sometimes I just ache for what we've lost temporarily.
It's like going back to what Elizabeth Gilbert was saying about grief.
Yeah.
You've got to let yourself feel that sadness, you know? It is sad. It's okay.
Yeah.
We have to be compassionate with ourselves.
Yes.
Let ourselves off not feeling brave and bullish and upbeat every single day.
Yeah, totally.
Because you can end up like George's dad in Seinfeld, if you try and just plug on. Serenity now!
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is that you actually haven't been running that much.
No, I've been running for...
This machine to pieces.
No, I've been running fine, but I haven't been running much. My phone is actually... It's got 10% left. So we've got a bit of time left, but just be aware in case it goes. Did you hear that? Boom, boom, boom,
well,
boom.
I think... Yeah, and also my running machine seems like it's going to fall apart under my feet. So I think we've had some success here. I think we should wrap this up.
I actually think this is how we should do all future podcasts. We don't need to see each other again. I mean, this has been perfect.
Yeah, I miss you too. Thanks very much.
I tell you what, it's awful, but I think we've done okay. I think this is better than we expected.
We're getting by.
Yeah.
We are getting by.
Yeah, we're doing like
I keep saying to people not to be bullish, but someone absolutely beautifully said online, thanks to the podcast, guys, you probably won't be able to do any more. And I was like, yeah, we will. We're going to do this. One way or another, we're going to do it.
If there's one thing that we are going to be bullish about, it's doing this.
Exactly.
There is space for bullishness, definitely, but it's just got to be, it's just can't be 100% bullishness, has it? There has to be. It's going to take everything, hasn't it? It's going to take resilience, compassion, basic common sense,
all of life,
intelligence.
All of day-to-day life has to exist within
and
this
luck,
space.
And a bit of luck as well. It's just going to take everything, everything we've got. So listen.
Well, another important quote to remember is, with a little bit of luck, we can make it through the night.
With a little bit of luck, we can do money, daddy, money, daddy, 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 daddy. Rudy's
important things to remember.
Rudy's been making like a sort of lockdown album every day. He's just disappeared into his room and he's just spitting lyrics furiously.
thing about that is I think that's absolutely fantastic, but partly because I've been doing exactly the same thing. Songs I wrote when I was Rudy's age that I've never recorded, and I'm up in the music room sounds strong, it's me and my wife's bedroom, and I'm recording songs that from 25 years ago, trying to remember the totally self-conscious way I used to sing when I was a teenager.
So people get in touch with us, tell us how you're getting through it. We're going to keep doing this as long as humanly possible.
Every week.
Every
week. If one of us is incapacitated, we'll be here.
Talking to spiders on our own.
I'll be wondering if that spider even existed.
Yes. Let's hope we'll wonder whether this ever existed. But also, I wish everyone good health. It's gone.
Yeah, stay safe, everyone. If you run, run safely. If you can't run, forgive yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And keep in touch with us.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us how you're getting through it. And there's a lot of people in the countryside having great runs, it has to be said. They're sending us photos. And please keep doing that, because it definitely cheers us up. But I'm going to go now. I'm on 1%.
Oh, it's a window on the world. It's lovely, isn't it?
I'm on 1%, mate. So lots of love, and we'll speak soon, yeah?
See you soon. See you soon in real life.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care, love.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.